I'm very honored to be here, and I thank Biblioteca Popular and Casa Aslan for having me here. As a Puerto Rican, I come from the legacy of the Young Lords, and so I'm very honored to be here, one of the founders of the Jamborees. And so following in that tradition is an honor. And you know, there are no, que viva Puerto Rico. Our struggle, we're still struggling. You know, we both our communities, the Mexican and the Puerto Rican communities, still face marginalization and oppression. And so revolution is what's happening. Carlos created revolution, and so being here is revolution. We are creating revolution. The term revolution, when we look up in the dictionary, it's an effort to transform by undermining authority. And that's what we're doing here right now. So thank you.
That's right.
So I'm going to start with this land is your land. This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Islands, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land. But they don't seem to understand that we were here first. We were here first. We come from those who speak the world into place. Brown, skin brown, the color of earth. Red, skin red as the desert sand. We were here first. Yet, this ceased to be our home. Oh, so far yet so near. So far yet so near. Taino, Chichimeca, Azteca, Maya, Tolteca. Later, Fulani, Yoruba, Ashanti, Congo, Mandinka. We talked amongst ourselves and quietly cried through capture, survival, and dispersal. So far from home yet so near. So far from home yet so near. So far from home is the blood in my veins, streams and valleys that nourish 1,000 generations of villages. Is the rhythm of the stream that echoes entre the hills where birds and trees once sang to me, telling me cuentos of the search for vida and truth. These lives have become the anthology to a history that I now traverse, distanced, fragmented, uprooted, lost. I am a hallowed coarse carving. I am disparate nations in self-exile, carried on waves of anonymity and yearning. Ancestors' graves cry, churning out snippets of prophecy in dangerous languages, saying more of this world than is contained in any history book. The next one I have is called Politics of a Womb Transplant, and it's about the silent genocide that's happened to generations of indigenous people, including my people, including your people. So, Politics of a Womb Transplant. And this is based on a Native Nations doctor who researched what was going on within the women in her community when a young Native Nations woman came to her and said, I want a womb transplant. And basically she was asking for hysterectomy, because it was a social worker told her to do this. Politics of a womb transplant. My father's legacy dies with me, for as you see, I am a she, not a he. As a she, I've had the misfortune to be stricken with internal distortion of my womb, the place where a woman was to be blessed with grace. But there is normalcy in my fate. There is this historical inheritance of the ancestry of hysterectomy. For generations, miscommunications resulted in forced sterilization because they were speaking in translation, so abuelita had the operation, la operación. Abuelita didn't understand that it was more than just a tubal ligation and that it couldn't be reversed. Her fate, as that of many of other people of color, was a plan of silent genocide. Smallpox blanket, 1700s, Indian boarding schools, 1890s, Operation Bootstrap, 1947, Tuskegee syphilis experiment, 1932, Japanese detention camps, 1942, attempted reconquest of Native Nations, 1970, SB 1050, 2010, on and on it goes, a never-ending flow of men, women, and children exposed to sexual violence and abuse, medical experiments stifling the right to reproduce because our populating presence is an imposition and stands in the way of conquest, reconquest, but a conquest nonetheless. This is a history of degradation as a result of colonization of not only a people's land, but of their language, their bodies, and their minds. That inconvenient surgery was a necessity for me. However, the legacy that follows me as a result of my personal tragedy, I wear with honor and solidarity of the catastrophes long forgotten and contemporary that have beset generations of people of color. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. And what we're trying to do here is we're trying to better it for our children. The social justice revolution that happened in the 60s made my life better. I was one of the first children that was able to go to free preschool and had free breakfast and free lunch. And so that's why I'm here with my master's degree, and I'm able to teach now. And so it's because of people like Carlos that the generations were able to do more than their parents. And so as a teacher, I had a blowout with a colleague who wanted to bring in the military to a grammar school career day fair. So this is my answer to my colleague's request. A pacifist teacher's declaration. No, I disagree to the military showing up to our elementary school career day. I am adamant. Alternatives, you say, really? It's indoctrination day where the seeds of military propaganda, false promises, and downright lies will lead to these children's demise. Serve your country. Be one of the few, the proud. Be part of something bigger. No, Ms. Maestra, you don't know. Our frontline soldiers don't hold college degrees, can't avoid combat, don't have daddies to secure deferment desk jobs. Options and alternatives, you say? So easy to offer from the balcony of privilege. No, Ms. Maestra, that mighty high seat obscures your sight. You can't see what brown mothers in their tender silence already know. Power is held by the few select, including you, teacher, never listening to reason. No. The powers that be deafen our children's, numb their brain, adding soundtracks to vignettes that exalt soldier as action hero, warrior, savior. The powers that be have their own agendas, see? Their agenda that discounts the laws of humanity, justifying carnage in combat by camouflaging it as combat. Thank you for your patience and your attention. Thank you.
I just wanted to make a quick thank you for people that are getting a chance to see us clapping. I wanted to say, this wonderful and political woman not only is an activist from generations past, but is a teacher of our son and changed the life in our family. So her work is everywhere. Thank you.
Somos la familia. We are the family here together. For support of Carlos Montes to drop all the charges, all the false charges against Carlos. We have some materials, and we also would like to have your name, your address, email, so we can email you and keep you abreast of things. We hope to have another meeting on the FBI repression and on political repression. We hope that our brothers and sisters who are committed in these committees will come back to Aslan, come back here, and let's have more people come. And let's try to tell this government that, no, you're not going to fool around with our people. You're not going to take away, you know, our ethnic studies. You're not going to take away whatever the good things that are coming. You're not going to take away our jobs. You're not going to give us wars and wars and wars. And the one way we can do it is to stop that political repression and stop FBI repression, because they're coming after us, but you know what? We're going back after them. So we want you to know that this is a good meeting, and we need you to come back, because we are going to continue having meetings here at Casa Aslan.